Today is November 18th, 2024. Current Bitcoin price is $91,176.
Welcome to the BitByte podcast, your source for news and information about Bitcoin and the cryptocurrency space. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not financial advice.
What's going on, Rick?
Oh, you know, just feeling that exuberance still. I mean, not quite as strong today, but it's still pretty good.
How's your Monday feeling?
Most Mondays suck, but when you're in Bitcoin summer or whatever you want to call this, it always feels good.
Yeah. It's definitely an exciting time. I think it's kind of interesting. Last time we recorded, what, we were at 88? Where were we at?
Yeah, I believe it was
88, 840. And so, I mean, we saw a lot of kind of downward pressure. We were looking at the flows, and like when we were looking at like the end of last week, right, there was a bunch of outflows that had taken place.
Yes.
I mean, they still didn't compare to what had inflowed previously from the previous week, but, or I guess earlier on in the week. But there was one thing that I thought was really interesting. It was as soon as the markets closed on Friday, like the regular traditional markets, then Bitcoin popped right immediately back above into the 90 range.
Yeah, it's, I mean, I guess what it's got up to 93.
Yeah.
And kind of in a little bit of a muck trying to dig its way out.
Yeah. I think it's one of those interesting things within price discovery where could be bouncing around. I mean, we've been bouncing around for a little while now. I mean, it was good because I think we had talked about that in the last episode. Was you know, it going up too fast, too high, too fast would just lead to a drop out of the market, right?
Yeah.
So it's good that it's finding a little bit of support in this area, consolidating a little bit. But how are theoretical purchases doing? I'm kind of curious.
They're doing pretty good. First theoretical purchase is $3,000 back in October of last year, late October, and that would have netted you 0.0885 Bitcoin. And at today's opening price of $91,176, that's worth $8,069.
Jeez.
So, not too bad.
That's
not
a nice quite chunk triple. Of change.
Yeah, that's a good profit. I mean, $5,000 profit right there.
Yeah.
Next one is quite a bit later. That was purchased at least 6 months later in theoretical purchase right at the halving, and purchased 1,000 at that time. Bitcoin was worth 64,000. And so you would have netted basically 0.01564 Bitcoin, at least 1.5 million Satoshis. And that price now, or that value of $1,000, is now gone up to 1426.
Wow. Okay. So that's looking pretty good too. Not as good as that first one. That first one that you called back in October of last year. That's a nice chunk of change.
Yeah.
Well, you know what's cool? Like, this is the highest price that we've ever had on this podcast.
Oh yeah. I mean, last Monday things were super crazy, and you know, it jumped what, $9,000 basically.
Yeah.
And, you know, still, I mean, it's still gone up since the last time we recorded. I mean, we're still another 2,500 above that. So happy days.
Happy days indeed. So MicroStrategy purchased some more Bitcoin, right?
Yeah. Yeah. They, you know, found it in their couch or whatever.
Where are they finding that money? Where are they getting that from?
Well, some people are actually calling it the infinite money glitch because they're borrowing certain amounts of dollars from unsecuritized loans at really ridiculously low interest rates. And then they go issue bonds, and then they take those bonds and they buy Bitcoin. So, yeah, it's kind of crazy what they're doing. And I mean, we're talking about the 4.5 that was announced today, but they did $2 billion the previous week.
Yeah. Yeah, like they continue to buy. And I mean, when they first started this train, like, we were always like, oh, look at that. Like, yeah, they're awesome. They keep on buying. And every time you'd see a dip, they'd buy. Now they're just like every week they're making huge purchases.
No, they're going, I don't know. They're like hogs at a trough. They're just eating all that slop that they can.
They now currently sit at 331,200 Bitcoin.
Good Lord Almighty.
Yeah. They're making a run for to have IBIT holding value, I'm guessing. I don't know, man. Like,
Well, the thing with them is they are actually the ones who own that Bitcoin outright. Technically, they're holding that for you, but they're not technically the owners of that.
right.
So, yeah.
Yeah, no, MicroStrategy straight up, they're going and they're buying it. They're not buying on ETFs, they're not doing anything like that. They are straight up purchasing Bitcoin, and they continue to purchase Bitcoin, and they will probably continue to purchase Bitcoin. And I don't know, we were talking, I think we talked in that last episode, but the episode before, about Microsoft was talking about having a meeting, about whether or not they were going to vote to have Bitcoin as part of their asset reserves.
Yes.
And we don't have a result on that until December 10th, or at least that's when the vote's supposed to be. But you would imagine, like, we've talked about game theory, multiple times on this podcast, and we've talked about nation state game theory, like once the United States announces, like, say, hey, yeah, we are going to do a strategic reserve. MicroStrategy has kind of been the first one of the major players. And I don't even consider MicroStrategy to have been a major player. They've made themselves a major player within the Bitcoin space. But
Well,
if
they're
Microsoft,
definitely the early adopter.
For sure. They're the ones that kind of showed you how to do the play in the playbook. And I remember Michael Saylor, whenever he first announced this, and I think we talked about this on the podcast like a couple of years ago, he was doing classes where he'd bring in these, basically like the chief financial officers, right, the CFOs, and talk to them about how they can do this for their companies.
Yeah.
He was talking about that. And I don't know. I think it'll be kind of interesting if Microsoft actually jumps on the bandwagon and starts to do this as well. Then how many of the other companies will do it? Tesla already has some, but I don't think
And
they
with
haven't
NVIDIA
aped in.
help too.
Yeah.
Well, here's my question, and I don't know if the answer, I'm just putting this out there, but Michael Saylor being a billionaire and whatever connections he may or may not have, do you maybe think he has some inside information why he's going so crazy right now?
I would think so. I mean, considering he probably could have made, like, with what he's doing right now, he probably could have made these purchases, say, even when Bitcoin was sitting at 60,000. Why did he wait and start doing, what, basically like $6 billion worth of Bitcoin purchases within 2 weeks at like new all-time highs?
Exactly. That's kind of what I'm thinking, is something's telling him he needs to grab what he can now before it's too dang late.
Which is kind of interesting, in which, I mean, I think might as well bring it up now. They're stating that now, ever since, kind of Bitcoin entered this bull run, we are actually have the lowest level of Bitcoin available on exchanges since November of 2018.
That's actually kind of scary.
Yeah, because typically during bull runs, you start to see a lot more Bitcoin starting to come back to exchanges, like people selling. That's not happening this time. The accumulation is continuing. So apparently there's only, and I don't know how accurate the amount of this is, but there's only 2.58 million Bitcoins available on the exchanges currently. Now, as to whether or not those are all spoken for, is that what's sitting in people's wallets, or is that actually available to buy? I'm guessing this is probably what's sitting in people's wallets and stuff like that on top of that.
I imagine it's everything
Yeah.
that exchanges have.
Yeah, exactly. It's probably everything that they have, the stuff that they're custodying, all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, it's definitely one of those things where it's like, well, what are we looking at here? I mean, we talked about this before, where is it the supply shock? I still think you're going to see a lot more sales happen when we get to 100,000. I mean, because that, to me, at this point, that's just a matter of time. It's a matter of when, not if. But I don't know. One of the other things. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I agree with you. I mean, if price hits 100,000 and crosses that point, I mean, there's going to be resistance there. But once it crosses and stays above that, the exuberance is going to get just, the FOMO is going to be real.
Yeah. No, I absolutely agree. And it's going to be like, you know, they always talk about that, how, I mean, there's a lot of, there's media coverage covering the Bitcoin price right now, but there's not the typical euphoria yet. By no means are we at the top of the market yet. We still have some running to go. I don't know how high it'll go, but we still have some room to go on this. One of the other things that I think is interesting is options trading will start on the ETF starting tomorrow for Bitcoin.
Really?
Yeah.
So before it was just you purchased it and then they held it. Now you can put options on when to sell and all that kind of stuff.
Which, I mean, I wonder what that's going to do to the price. That's going to do some suppression.
I'm thinking that's going to suppress the price quite a bit.
Yeah.
And, you know, if so many people set their thresholds at different levels, you know, that when a meltdown occurs on Bitcoin, and it usually does, I mean, it's happened every cycle, it's going to be spectacular and not in a good way.
No, I completely agree. I think it's going to be a tragic. It'll be a thing of beauty, and it'll be a burning carcass, perhaps. But it'll rise from the ashes like a phoenix, like it always does.
Not like Chernobyl.
Not like Chernobyl. Like a phoenix. So we'll see. We'll see what that does. And we'll see if that actually goes live. That's just current speculation on that, on the ETF trading with options. But that's what they're kind of been talking about. In an early interview on Bloomberg Television, Allison Hennessy, the director of exchange-traded products listing at NASDAQ, the primary exchange for the ETF, said our intent is to list and trade these options as early as tomorrow. So that's where that information is coming from. One other thing that I thought was interesting is we have the Polish presidential candidate wannabe, right?
Well, one of the candidates.
One of the candidates is going to take a option out of Trump's playbook.
Yes, that's what I read. And that'd be interesting. I mean, their elections aren't until sometime next year, from what I understand.
Yeah.
It but looks like he's running on that. And he allegedly has 30, he possesses 30 Bitcoin in his wallet.
Okay. So he's got some stake in the game already.
Yeah, he's a real deal. I mean, if you own 30 Bitcoin, you're doing pretty all right, especially at these prices, right?
Yeah. No, I completely agree. The gentleman's name is Will Slawomir Minson.
I can barely pronounce any other language besides English. Polish might be the most difficult.
I don't even know if that's accurate, but but yeah, if that's the case, then I mean, he'd be joining the ranks of, I mean, El Salvador, Argentina, and then possibly the United States by the time that happens. But I wonder how many other countries will come out of the woodwork once that goes into play. I don't think that they can avoid it.
I think other countries wouldn't be able to avoid it if America steps in.
Yeah.
I think if Trump does what he says he's going to do, and, you know, as part of his administration, he's going to set up the Bitcoin reserve, I think basically every other country is going to have to follow suit.
Yeah.
And then that's going to be crazy. That's going to be the melt up of Bitcoin I shouldn't say melt up. That's going to be like nuclear level. That's when we'll see the God candles and the Omega candles happening.
Yeah. I wonder how they'll pull that off. It'll be kind of interesting. They'll all be talking to Michael Saylor. He'll be teaching them all how to buy without moving the price.
Well, I think when nation states are trying to buy, I don't think that's possible.
No, I wouldn't think so either. I mean, because even with what Trump plans on doing, or not necessarily even Trump, I think it's Is it Cynthia Loomis? She's the one that's introducing that legislation where she wants to have a million Bitcoin over the next 5 years purchased. That's Michael Saylor level of buying every year almost.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's what Michael's at, or MicroStrategy's at 300,000 now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it would take them in two years, they'd be pretty much caught up with Michael Saylor at that point. Assuming he goes crazy and keeps buying. So, which is a safe assumption.
I don't think he's been doing it now since the last bull run, right? Like I give it to him. Like he came on late in the game of 2019 or something like that, maybe 2020. And then he had conviction and he continues to buy.
Well, no, his timing was impeccable because it was summer of 2019 before that crazy upswing, right?
Yeah.
In November, December, which happened kind of the same, or yeah, maybe 2020. Maybe he's got in 2020. But he got in right at the right moment and it just paid off.
Yeah.
In spades.
Absolutely. So, and that kind of brings us back to what we were kind of talking about before we got recording today was currently the crypto fear and greed index is sitting at 83 for extreme greed. We've seen the ceiling at 93.5. What do you think? Where do you think we're going?
83 is kind of scary high. I mean, when people are too greedy, that's when prices are set up to fall.
Yeah.
And, you know, kind of the opposite end is when it's too fearful. That's basically when the low has set in. But, you know, I can't say, I don't know exactly what it's going to do. My guess is it might dip down a little bit. But, I mean, I don't think it's going to be too much longer before we're at 100,000.
No.
I think it's going to happen by the end of the month.
Yeah. It seems like it. So, this is where I'm at on the whole thing. I do think, because we've seen pullbacks happen in the market before during bull runs, right? Like, that will happen. I kind of have a feeling like if it wasn't for the fact that we stayed basically range bound for the past 7 months prior to this move, I would be a little bit more fearful. But because we consolidated for so long in that $60,000 range, I really think that we do have some room that we can run before we have to kind of do a test. But I don't think we have a lot more room to run before we have to kind of do that sell off, kind of reset metrics, and then build back up. So I do agree with you. I think we could hit 100,000 before the end of the month, definitely before the end of the year. But I would say before the end of the month, I think what we may see is perhaps we'll see like 102,000 before we get that kind of little bit of a sell-off, 30% sell-off.
Yeah.
Kind of reset some of the indicators and then kind of clear us out to go forward again for the Santa Claus rally.
Yeah. I think 100,000, that's going to be a strong resistance right there. That's just a big psychological number.
Yeah.
I mean, 70 was kind of this year's resistance level, at least for most of it. And it took us a while to get past that. And basically the election is what kicked us past that.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, we might sit at 100,000 somewhere in that sub range, you know, before we can break through that. I don't know when that's going to happen. That might take a little bit.
I agree. I think we've got room to run still, but yeah, I think you may be right. We may need to reset some of these indicators, but I think we'll hit 100,000 before we reset the indicators myself.
Yep. I kind of agree.
But I think that will be a pretty major little sell-off and then a little bit of a hurdle to get over. And then I don't know what the next level, obviously we don't know what the resistance levels would be. My guess would probably be 120,000. I don't think 110 will be hard. I think 120 would be the next, but that's all theoretical. Like I got nothing to prove that on.
No. And we don't know what kind of news is going to come out. I mean, maybe Microsoft does decide that they're going to buy Bitcoin and just ever, you know, that's one of the biggest corporations on the planet, right?
Mm-hmm.
They have a higher value than Bitcoin right now, correct?
Yeah. Yeah. They're one of the last last big dog standing in Bitcoin's way next. I mean, gold is the king ding-a-ling right now, right? But it was basically like, what did we say? It was something like, I can't remember if it was Google, NVIDIA, Microsoft, Apple. Like, those are the last ones that are kind of in its way.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
So,
I mean, if they're the ones who kick that off, I mean, who says that, you know, the rest of them aren't going to start doing the same thing? You know, all these big, big companies.
Yeah.
And it's going to be interesting. And if that does go through, maybe we wake up one day and it's 150,000. You just don't know.
Yeah, that's true. Well, and if the nation state thing happens, that could be the other big thing that does that as well. And, you know, for those that are, you know, kind of fearful, like, oh, well, I'm not going to buy now. We're at the top. It's like, no, we're still at the top of this bull run.
Yeah.
I don't know when it's going to end, but I think we have at least till March or April, at like the earliest that it may end. But you still have some time if you want to make some money.
Yep. Realistically, I mean, if it ended in March and April, that's earlier than any other Bitcoin cycle that's matched. The previous cycle ended in November.
Yeah.
2020, was that 2021?
2021, yeah. It was basically a full year and some change after the halving.
So if you look at the previous cycle, ended December 2017. So in the previous cycle is like December 2013. So generally they end towards the end of the year of the, you know, not 2024, but it'd be 2025 this year, this upcoming year.
Yeah.
But
and you've
it's seen, hard to say.
They say that there's like something where there's a 45-day delay currently, which could push us to end earlier, which, I mean, you're still looking at late summer. I mean, you're looking at September, October kind of time frame. But
right.
Who
I mean, I think you'd be pretty safe if you sold by June.
Yeah. Yeah. And I do think there's still room to grow. Like, I don't think we've seen the top yet. I don't think we're going to see $1 million Bitcoin this cycle. I think we still have one more cycle before we get there.
Yeah.
Unless I'm completely wrong and then it goes in super cycle, but I don't think we're there yet.
I don't believe in the super cycle yet, but hey, I mean, the things are happening and we're seeing the game theory play out right in front of our eyes. So it's very exciting, at least for you and myself.
Yeah, absolutely. Anything else you wanted to bring up tonight?
You know, with the Bitcoin price, you know, or the Bitcoin supply going down on the exchanges, you know, if you purchase in Bitcoin, I think it'd be a great idea to get that Bitcoin moved to your own personal hardware wallet, and you can get one from our website.
Yes, if you go into the deals page, you can get yourself either a Ledger or an Alipal. And one thing I wanted to clarify, last episode I had forewarned about NFTs, kind of spoof NFTs that were appearing on people's wallets. They have cleared that up to where those are not going to show up on your basically within your ledgers any longer. So those are gone.
Nice.
Yeah.
So Ledger's the way to go for now?
Yep. Ledger is taking care of those. They did a patch to fix that stuff. So that's good. I'm glad to see that, because that's scary when people are sending you something that you didn't do anything with, but they're sending it to you hoping that you'll interact with it and they may be able to get it backdoor into your hardware.
Damn backdoors.
Yeah, I know. Got to lube it up first. But yeah. And when you sign up for the newsletter, you also get your cold storage security checklist. That kind of just helps walk you through the whole process of securing your own Bitcoins, because it can be a very nerve-wracking experience if you've never done it before.
Absolutely.
So, excellent. Well, thank you all for listening. I hope next time we talk to you, maybe we'll be at that 100,000 range.
I hope so, but, you know, with Bitcoin, it just does Bitcoin things. So
it does do Bitcoin things. You could be at 78.
Right. We're still going to be oddling on.
Yep. Thank y'all for listening.
Bye.